Welcome to Night Shadows, where the paranormal becomes normal, where the fifth dimension becomes real, where we find the world and universe are far different than anything we could ever realize. Why is there a paranormal? Does that not suggest we have been cut off from something? And why? Is there another world? Another zone of existence? I'm Stuart Best. This is Night Shadows. Tonight, the UFO enigma, part two. Is it real? Or is it Memorex? Driving down the road one time, I-94, here in Wisconsin, I happened to glance out the driver's side window and saw a silver object in the sky. First, I thought, well, it's an airliner. It's banked, so I can't see the wings and I can't see the tail. So I sort of dismissed it. I just thought the airplane was in a bank, circling for some reason. So I drove along, and a couple minutes later, I looked back up, and there it was, still there. Obviously very, very high in altitude. A silver cigar-shaped object. No wings. No tail. Must have been fairly large, thousands of feet long, probably. Who knows how thick? Anyway, as I'm driving down the road, I keep my eye on it, and it just sitting there. Very, very, it was a clear day, no clouds even. And then, as I glanced out of the front, another object caught my eye, another silver object, sitting there like a cigar in the heavens, very shiny, sun reflecting off the bright, shiny, almost chrome-like, like a car bumper. That shiny. So I looked at them, and I watched them. And I had to leave the freeway and eventually lost sight of them. And I thought, well, maybe you're just seeing things. But then later, it was reported by about a number of Wisconsin residents, more than 300 of them, had seen the same thing. These cigar-shaped objects just floating high in the atmosphere, way, way, way up, and yet very, very easily seen, which of course meant they were very, very large. What were they? Well, there's a fellow, his name was Dr. Peter Beta. Claimed to be an insider, published a newsletter, maybe allowed to publish it, who knows. But in those newsletters, he would mention from time to time what he called cosmospheres. He said they were Russian-made. They were huge freighters, he said, that ran freight between the moon and Mars and the Earth. These things were very, very, very large. And the thought was, because we were having a relatively large CME solar flare influx at the time, that these cosmospheres may have just settled back down into the rarefied upper atmosphere to ride the solar storm CME out before they proceeded to wherever it was they were going. Dr. Peter Bader also made another very interesting remark. One of his more famous newsletters, he reported about the War of the Harvest Moon, which he claimed the United States of America lost. But that's a whole nother story. It's a very, very interesting story. We've told you about the TR-3B, a Marine Corps officer filmed it over in Iraq or Afghanistan. They've been filmed a number of times now. Anti-gravity. So when you take a look at all this, when you have seen things like that, and that's not the first sighting I've had. I had several unexplainables. One involved my daughter. Another one, I was just simply sitting outside on the front lawn and saw this silver disc floating by, not a sound, in and out of the puffy clouds. Clear blue sky, other than the clouds floating around in there, covered the horizon in maybe a minute. Very, very fast. What was it? Was it ours? Was it theirs? Whose? Why? What? And then, of course, we have the story of Alternative 3, which in our investigations proved to be all too real, but unknown to the general public. And that, too, is another story. And then we have John Lear. That's an interesting story. I've talked to John. I interviewed John on a program which I hope to bring to you. It was very, very interesting. John Lear is the son of Bill Lear of Learjet fame. And I may have already told you this, but I'll tell you again just so that you can see that some people really seem to know something is going on out there that the general public, probably 99.5% of them, have no clue that anything is going on outside their normal existence, when in fact it is. Anyway, John was interested in something called Majestic 12. He wanted to know if it was real. So he bugged his mom about it over and over, and she finally relented, and she talked to General James Doolittle. He was the commander of the famous Doolittle raid on Tokyo, flying a whole fleet of B-25 Mitchells over Tokyo to bomb them. They flew off an aircraft carrier. It had never been done before, but Doolittle, like most of our military leaders, very inventive, very ingenious. Anyway, because John's mother knew Jimmy Doolittle, he felt, well, she'll know whether there's anything to this. If she asks, Jimmy will know. So finally she relented and asked Jimmy Doolittle about it, and all he would say was, yes, it's real, and that's all I'm going to say about it. Then, of course, we have the story of Bob Lazar, connected actually to Mr. Lear and his story of anti-gravity devices, backwards engineering. Then we have Stan Deo, scientist Stan Deo, also involved with Dr. Edward Teller, backwards engineering, working on anti-gravity devices. And then, of course, we have Dr. Greer, who claims that we already have UFO craft that go faster than the speed of light. Also, that the elite know all about the free energy that's being stopped, so that the elite can make a killing off petrodollars, etc., etc. And a good friend of mine, his name was Carl Story. Carl was one of the most enigmatic and mysterious men I ever met, extremely wealthy. Had made his fortune in Silicon Valley, millions of dollars. He told me the story about that he had developed an electric car and a special type of battery that you only had to charge it maybe once a week. Would go virtually indefinitely. And how he was getting ready to build this when he got a visit, we'll say. And the government people that visited Carl said, "You are not going to build this, nor are you going to build your battery if you get our drift." Well, being not necessarily wanting to die at the moment, he said, okay. Carl also knew all about anti-gravity. Said it was extremely simple. The guy was a genius. Simple to make. But he felt would never be divulged. Towards the end of his life, Carl made a very, very interesting comment. He said, "The sole existence of Silicon Valley was for one purpose: to develop the technology so that mankind from cradle to grave could be marked, tracked, followed from birth to death." He was, of course, referring to the famous biblical mark of the beast, 666. But then again, we have silent weapons for quiet wars. How the elite Rothschilds had figured out that money and money flow is identical to electricity. But the end result of silent weapons for quiet wars, which is another story as well, ends this way: to put a computer chip or computer readable ink of some type into every man, woman, and child, so that all economic transactions can be controlled and traced. That was the goal of silent weapons for quiet wars. Is it real? Or is it Memorex? 99.9% probably, or 99.5% of the American people go through life never investigating, don't seem to want to, things outside their normal existence. Anyway, it all gets extremely interesting, like the invasion of Iraq. Why did we go there? Well, it was said that Daddy Bush had been threatened by Saddam Hussein. They were going to kill Papa Bush. So the story went that Sonny Boy Bush decided to go in there and take him out for that particular reason. But then there's a lot of other things going on here One of them sounds rather bizarre off the wall. Totally strange, but maybe has more truth in it than anything. That they went in there to find a Stargate. They went in there to find ancient but different technology. That they actually went in there to find a Stargate. Now, you might remember the movie Stargate, where it was dug up in Egypt long ago and transported to the United States, and they said they filmed it, I believe, in Cheyenne Mountain, one of the underground complexes, one of many, many underground complexes, I might say, where they filmed the movie Stargate. But in that movie, a fellow named Daniel was the one who unlocked the code. Daniel, you might remember, is the unlocker of secrets, much as Daniel the prophet in the Old Testament was a unlocker of secrets. So, was Hollywood telling us what is going on in the name of fiction? Sci-fi? But there is a saying, you know, and this is one you might want to remember. If you see it on the screen, they say, it already happened yesterday. So we have artifacts of ancient aliens on the moon and Mars have already been found. They are very, very numerous on the face on Mars, which NASA attempted to debunk with new pictures. To then we have structures, obvious structures on the moon. Chinese have already published some of that. It's on YouTube. People want to go look for it. Tithonia City is another one. Obvious, intelligently designed structures. A whole city clearly laid out. But total denial of it, if it becomes the reality. Why is that? Denial. Why do we have such denial, particularly of sharp, clear pictures or evidence of any kind that is very clear, very sharp, very obvious, instantly? Mankind, humanity says, well, this was all doctored. It was all photoshopped. That's not real. It couldn't possibly be real. So, it appears to be okay to go to a movie of sci-fi types like the movie Aliens, where you can walk out of the theater and say, boy, that was a great movie. Really exciting, scary even, but it was just fiction. Just a Hollywood horror movie, that's all. But is there something else possibly going on? Real proof, when it surfaces, is almost always denied because humanity wants and appears to need to know. They are number one on the food chain. And any evidence, excuse me, that they are not is almost immediately mocked and ridiculed because of an innate and unconscious fear that maybe there really is something real that goes bump in the night out there beyond our control. Something we don't know about, fearful. Like a nightmare you have where you wake up sweating, horrified. Where did it come from? Who gave it to you? Why did you have it in the first place? So, if we can prove Bigfoot, which everybody mocks and says couldn't exist, we have movies. Well, they were made up, they were photoshopped, not real, but we have too many of them, tracks, too many encounters, And yet, for whatever reason, even though we're fascinated with the concept of a Bigfoot, some sort of a gigantic ape, we really don't want it to be real. Not really. Because after all, if Bigfoot is real, maybe there is such a thing as werewolves. Maybe there are shapeshifters out there. Maybe there really are odd creatures out there that we can speculate on, but we don't really want them to be real. Because after all, if they are real, then we're dealing with something we don't really know about, something we cannot personally control, and therefore it's better for the human comfort zone to deny it all. Hence, debunk it. Look for reasons why it couldn't be true. Debunkers, skeptics. I haven't seen it. Couldn't be real. Could never be real because I personally have never seen anything like that. These people are crazy. They're off the wall. They're seeing things. Well, maybe they are. But then again, maybe they're not. Maybe they really are seeing something very real but unexplainable. Something that pops up in the twilight zone. But I wanted to get to this UFO business. Is it real or is it Memorex? Because when you have very, very important people who come forward and share stories, very important people, it is my belief they're trying to tell us something that we don't want to hear, and therefore we write it off. We are in denial. We are not number one on the food chain. We never were. We never will be. The only reason mankind thinks he's number one on the food chain is because we are prisoners in time and space in this little place we call planet Earth. And as I said at the very beginning, are we really alone? Why do we even use the phrase paranormal? Is it because it just kind of lies outside our normal sight, sound, hearing? Something we really can't explain, something that's out there, but yet it's not there. Something that we suspect might be real, but we are so fearful of it, we declare it not real. But let's take a look at some things. An interesting article was written by a Marty Murray. And it was about Jackie Gleason. You remember Jackie Gleason. And President Nixon. And this is, I'm going to just quote part of this article because it's very, very interesting. And I'd heard it before, a number of times, actually. And I heard an interview, I believe it was, with Jackie himself, where he admitted that he had seen some strange things. It scared him. In fact, the story goes that after he was shown some things by President Nixon, that he drank a tremendous amount for a long time after that until he could wrap his mind around it. And I believe this is part of the reason why people are in denial, because they don't want to have to admit that there really is a twilight zone. There really is a fifth dimension. There really is that region of the mind, of the imagination, of the unconscious, that tells us There's a whole other world out there that we know nothing about, and it scares us. Anyway, this is how the story goes. It was a chance conversation one afternoon, way back in 1974 in Florida, while Jackie was playing golf with one of his regular partners, President Richard Nixon. Jackie had mentioned his interest in UFOs and his large collection of books, and the president admitted that he also shared Jackie's interest and had a sizable collection of UFO-orientated materials of his own. At the same time, the president said little about what he actually knew, but things were to change drastically later on that same night. One can only imagine, the article says, Gleason's surprise when President Nixon showed up at his house around midnight, completely alone and driving his own private car. When Jackie asked him why he was there, Nixon told him that he wanted to take him somewhere and show him something. So he got into the president's car. They ended up at the gates of Homestead Air Force Base. They passed through security and drove to the far end of the base, to a tightly guarded building. At this point, I will quote directly from Gleason himself, researcher and author Larry Warren. Jackie said, "We drove to the very far end of the base in a segregated area, finally stopping near a well-guarded building. The security police saw us coming and just sort of moved back as we passed them and entered the structure. There were a number of labs we passed through first before we entered a section where Nixon pointed out what he said was the wreckage from a flying saucer enclosed in several large cases. Next, he says, we went into an inner chamber. There were six or eight of what looked like glass-topped coke freezers, but inside them were the mangled remains of what I took to be children. Then upon closer examination, I saw that some of the other figures looked quite old, actually. Most of them were terribly mangled, as if they had been in an accident." Gleason was understandably excited by all of this, but also quite traumatized, said he couldn't eat or sleep properly for weeks afterwards, found himself drinking heavily till he was able to regain his composure. However, in his interview with Larry Warren, who was invited to Jackie's house in person because Gleason wanted to hear firsthand about Warren's experience at Bentwaters Air Force Base in England, it was clear that Jackie was being honest and sincere. You could tell, Warren says, he was very sincere. He took the whole affair very seriously, and I could tell that he wanted to get the matter off his chest. And that was why he was telling me all of this. Jackie felt just like I do, that the government needs to come clean and tell us all it knows about space visitors. It's time they stop lying to the public, release all the evidence they have. When they do, then we'll be able to see the same thing that the late Jackie Gleason did. Had to get it off his chest. It takes me back to being aloft 39,000 feet. Commander Edward Haynes, first officer, had to get it off his chest. So is it real? Or is it all Memorex? Are these people seeing things? Was President Nixon? Jackie Gleason? Ed Haynes, Bob Lazar, Stephen Greer, all of these people, hundreds of others, are they all hallucinating? Or is it just that we want them to be hallucinating and we don't want. We cannot accept there's another dimension out there and we may be subject to that control. We want to have control over our lives and over our existence. We don't want other people to be telling us what to do. We acquiesce, of course, in the name of civilization, in the name of society. But at the end, we want to be the captain of our own soul. We want to be the chief pilot, the navigator, the commander of our soul. And so we develop as we grow up these safety nets, these comfort zones. Dare anyone tread to invade one of those zones, we will immediately go into denial. We will immediately go into anger. It could not be true, because I don't want it to be true. But what if it is? What if it is really real and not Memorex? It's a good question we have to ask ourselves. Now, I want to talk to you about something that's, I've often believed it. I had no proof of it. Kennedy was assassinated for a number of reasons, and I want to talk to you about President John F. Kennedy. Charismatic leader, young. The world loved him, but there were those who hated him. Some things have surfaced of late that would tend to confirm why John F. Kennedy was assassinated and probably even points to who did it. I don't think there are too many people around that don't know that our own government, the CIA and the NSA, probably had a lot to do with it. The inner circle of the elite, the intelligence communities. That goes all the way back to Nazi Germany and Paperclip, Operation Paperclip, and that, too, is another story. Anyway, a very interesting letter has emerged. It says, top secret, November 12, 1963. Not very long. Remember, in November 22, 1963, John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. I have videos, and I'm sure a lot of you may have already seen those videos, where the Secret Service was called off guarding John Kennedy's motorcade. Anyway, memorandum for the Director of Central Intelligence Agency, subject classification review of all UFO intelligence files affecting national security. It was John Kennedy who was assassinated exactly 10 days later in Dallas, Texas. Alan W. Dulles, director of the CIA, was up until November 1961, replaced by John McCone. May have been one of the Magic 12, very powerful elite that were set up to investigate the UFO enigma, backwards engineering, aliens, etc., etc. Anyway, I want to read you something from a report that Linda Moulton Howe has on her website. It's very, very interesting. I just want to talk about a little bit of it because I think it's very, very important. Again, a letter, top secret, November 12, 1963. I read you the first part, classification review of all UFO intelligence files affecting national security. As I have discussed with you previously, John Kennedy now, I have initiated and have instructed James Webb to develop a program with the Soviet Union in joint space and lunar exploration. It would be very helpful if you would have the high threat cases reviewed with the purpose of identification of bona fide as opposed to classified CIA U.S. Air Force sources. It is important, he says, that we make a clear distinction between the knowns and the unknowns in the event the Soviets try to mistake our extended cooperation as a cover for intelligence gathering of their defense and space programs. When this data has been sorted out, I would like you to arrange a program of data sharing with NASA where unknowns are a factor. This will help NASA something directors, mission directors, I guess, and their defensive responsibilities. I would like an interim report on a data review no later than February 1, 1964, signed John F. Kennedy. Now this is fascinating. High threat cases. A distinction between knowns and unknowns. What does that tell you? Number one, the government at the time thought UFOs were a threat, possible threat to national security. Number two, knowns, backwards engineered projects. Majesty 12, the group that headed up the backwards engineering, the retrievals of crashed UFOs, the shoot-downs of UFOs. Is all of this real? Or is it Memorex? Why would you assassinate a president if it was all Memorex? Good question. One that really the skeptics and the naysayers ought to kind of ask themselves. Why would you assassinate a president of the biggest country in the world at the time, the most powerful country in the world at the time? Why would you assassinate a man over nothing? Well, the fact is you wouldn't. Fact is, there's something very real here. Fact is, there are high threat cases that they were reviewing because they wanted to identify what was going on, why it was going on, and who, what, why these visitors really were. They didn't know. They wanted to find out. Then, of course, the clear distinction between the knowns and the unknowns. The known would be backwards engineered projects, anti-gravity case devices that were ours, such as the TR-3B and others that we probably know nothing about and probably never will know anything about. Knowns and unknowns. So let's ask the question, what are the unknowns? Who? What? Why? How? Unknowns. Who are they? What are they? Why are they here? What do they want? Are they just merely observing humanity as it progresses downwards towards total chaos and destruction? Hands off, they'll implode anyway, I'm sure the logic goes. We seem to be a very primitive race. We don't seem to be able to get along at all. We do nothing but fight. We do nothing but conspire against each other. Nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, knowns and unknowns. And then he goes on to say where the unknowns are a factor for defense responsibilities. Now remember, this letter was written November 12th. He was executed 10 days later, November 22nd, 1963. And here is basically a command from the CIA and NASA. I want to know what's going on in the UFO intelligence community. I want to know because I am President of the United States. I represent the people of the United States, and I want to know because it's affecting national security. High threat cases, unknowns. Keep this letter in mind now. And I want to read something to you. Now, you have to understand something that's going on even today. And I can't remember who said it, but anyway, he said 500 days to weather chaos. President of France, somebody, a big name, anyway, a big heavyweight leader in the world. I just don't have his name in front of me and I can't remember. But some time ago, he said, we have 500 days to get things right or weather chaos. I want you to remember the word weather and chaos as we read something here that is, how do we say, not too good. Watergate break-in figure such as attorney Douglas Catty would share his last conversations with CIA's E. Howard Hunt when Hunt said that JFK was assassinated because he was trying to penetrate the MJ-12 and CIA control over information about the alien presence. I'll read that to you again. He was assassinated because he was trying to penetrate the MJ-12 and CIA control over information about the alien presence. Assassination of President John F. Kennedy by the CIA. Robert Wood, PhD, retired aerospace engineer, who had purchased all of the top secret MJ-12 documents that a whistleblower named Timothy Cooper sold to Bob way back in 2001. About a week after Bob Wood purchased Cooper's documents in 2001, Tim Cooper called Dr. Wood and said, "You won't believe what has arrived in the mail yesterday. It is a new memo Tim had never seen before, scorched with fire." During the 2008 Earth Files interview, this is Linda Moulton Howe, "Far as I know, this burned memo is the only document I've ever heard anyone claim could be authorization to kill John Kennedy." The whistleblower of the nine-page burned memo said he worked from 1960 to 1974 in CIA counterintelligence for James Jesus Angleton, director of CIA counterintelligence. After Angleton died May 12, 1987, the whistleblower said he pulled the nine-page memorandum from a fire that had scorched Angleton's most sensitive MJ-12 secret files. The nine-page memo is not dated. It's just stamped, top secret, MJ-12. Since the subject is Lancer, the Secret Service designation for John F. Kennedy. He was called Lancer. It is assumed the date that memo was written was between certain dates. It doesn't say here. It's blacked out. Anyway, the first nine pages are typed cleanly in black above actual burned memo. The reference to Lancer historically is very consistent with the code name that the U.S. Secret Service used to refer to President John F. Kennedy. His wife, Jacqueline, was called Lace. In 1954, Alan Dulles, who had recently become director of the CIA for Central, named James Jesus Angleton, as head of the counterintelligence staff. And Dulles was assigned him responsibility for coordination with Allied intelligence services. Anyway, this is what it says. I'm going to only read part of it because some of it is kind of hard to read. But here's the first part of it. In the context of the above, it has become necessary to review and evaluate duplication of field activities in light of the current situation. To eliminate this problem, I have drafted new directives for your review and consideration. Please evaluate which draft on its own merit with the goal of finding acceptable solutions in which all can agree on. As you must know, Lancer has made some inquiries regarding our activities which we cannot allow. Please submit your views no later than October. Your action in this matter is critical to the continuance of the group. Magic 12. Actually, MJ1. Okay, so now we go to part two. And this is from MJ12. And it's part of the same memo, just a different page. Pay very close attention to what it says. When conditions become non-conducive for growth, i.e., if Magic 12 is not going to get any money or no more money, or their money is going to be cut off completely. In other words, Kennedy may have threatened to cut off their money if they wouldn't tell him what he wanted to know. In our environment, and Washington cannot be influenced any further, the memo says. Well, that means that the people who control lots of the covert money for the Magic 12 UFO ET operations, if they don't keep the black money flowing into Majesty 12. Then the next thing is, weather is lacking any precipitation. In other words, black budget money for Magic 12 is either dwindling or is going to be cut off. Then it reads, it should be wet. A reference to wet works, wet affairs, which actually originated in Russia in the 19th century, and it's a 19th century phrase, which apparently that if you killed somebody during a burglary, it was simply called wet in Russian because of the blood. Wet got used then by the intelligence communities in the KGB to describe assassinations and was used in intelligence communities around the world. So MJ1, the CIA director, most likely is Alan Dulles' successor, John McCone, is using language to conceal the true intent of his message to assassinate Lancer JFK. When conditions become non-conducive for growth in our environment and Washington cannot be influenced any further, the weather is lacking any precipitation, it should be wet. In other words, we have to assassinate John F. Kennedy. We have to get rid of him. He's nosing around in areas we don't want him to be nosing around in. You might also recall that it was John F. Kennedy who went to the Denver feds and had a $2 United States note printed. If you take out your money and you look at it, it'll say Federal Reserve Note or Federal Reserve Debt is actually what it means. A Federal Reserve Note or a Federal Reserve Debt versus a United States Note. You might want to reflect on that. You might also want to reflect on a speech that I will bring to you from John F. Kennedy speaking about secret societies. MJ-12, the UFO, alien technology is all run by the rich men of the earth. It is all about money, technology, and control. Nothing else matters to these people. They have to control it. John Kennedy was becoming a threat, not only nosing around in Majesty 12 UFO ET retrieval backwards engineering programs and trying to find out what was going on. He was also a threat to the rich men of the earth and the Federal Reserve System, because he was going to print a note, a $2 note. I've seen it. It's real. It's not Memorex. I've actually had it in my hands. That could not be allowed. You might remember in the story of the Bible where the Lord Jesus Christ goes into the temple where the money changers are, the money people, and how he got so irate, he began throwing the tables and everything else around. Chased them all out of there. This is the Lord's temple. This is not Mammon's temple. This is the Lord's temple. What do you think you're doing in here? Well, they killed him right after that. You see, you don't mess with the money people. Nobody can mess with the money people until God says it's time, and he is the one who will terminate them at the time. Now, the reason I bring this to you is because here we have all these memos, and isn't it kind of interesting to you that we have all of this stuff going on? I mean, Kennedy, Nixon, Gleason, and who knows, we got tons of other testimonies. I just can't bring them all to you in the time that I have. But don't you find it a little interesting that this is all going on and it's just Memorex? There's nothing real here. Nothing real at all. It's just, you know, just all made up. I'll ask you a question again. Why would you kill the President of the United States for something that's not real? For something that this non-existent Majesty 12 group, we don't know if they're still in existence or under another name now. We do know they've backwards engineered UFOs. Too many witnesses have come forward, some of which I know. And then I go back to my good friend Carl Story, who was a genius. Oh, that's easy, he said. Anti-gravity is actually very easy. Free power is very, very easy. Well, if you were to release this kind of technology, well, then the people who run the oil companies and the gas, they're going to take that as a major threat to their money. Mammon. It's all about mammon. Walk into a hospital, you got no insurance. Well, gee, I don't know if we can do anything for you or not. You don't have insurance. We don't have money. Why don't you wait out in the waiting room, and we hope you die there because you don't have any money. Money runs planet Earth. Mammon runs planet Earth. It's all about the money. It's all about the corruption of the human race. We're going to get into that as we delve into all of this. It's very, very interesting. Is there something wrong with humanity? Or is this just the way it is? We could say it is what it is. But maybe, like the paranormal, it's not really the way it is. It's only the way we wish it could be, or anyway, something for all of us to think about. But I can assure you, the UFO is real. The alien extraterrestrial question is real. It has nothing to do whether it's reality or not. What it has to do with is who they are. What are they doing here? What are their intentions? And why are we seeing them now as we're closing down on what apparently becomes, and we're getting into Bible prophecy a bit. A lot of people don't like the Bible. They can't stand the Bible because they think it's a book about religion, and it really is not a book about religion at all. And in fact, I'll go a little bit further and I'll say that people who don't like the Bible haven't read it. Because had they read it, had they studied it, they'd realize this is not a book about a religion. Mankind makes stuff into a religion that is not a religion at all. Never was supposed to be. But that's another story. There are lots of other stories out there, and we hope you'll tune in to Night Shadows and join our membership club. We got a website up. It's called www.nightshadows.club. You might want to come take a look at it. Join our membership. It's free. We're posting all kinds of materials in there. We're going to have a whole lot more because although it may appear to be shadows, it may appear to be paranormal. It may appear to be ethereal. It may appear to be not even real, like that movement you see out of the corner of your eye, but when you turn and look, there's nothing there. Actually, there was. Actually, you're being given clues that the world we live in is not the world at all that you think it is. That the paranormal is really the normal. We're just one side of a multidimensional universe. And that, again, is just another story. So I'm going to sign off here. I'm going to ask you a question again. Would a president of the United States be assassinated for something that was Memorex? Just when you think you have everything figured out, rest assured, you do not. I'm Stuart Best, signing off for Night Shadows. Good night.